Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Procedures greater than what the CDC and health department require, including a three-step approach to sanitizing tables so you can get back inside right now. So go order online at MemphisBBQCO.com.
O'Reilly Auto Parts has what you need to keep your engine performing at its best. Our professional parts people will help you select just the right products for your car and budget, like 5 quarts of Castrol GTX conventional or high mileage motor oil and a MicroGuard filter, just $28.99. Plus, earn double O rewards points. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly
Auto Parts. Whether class is in school, at home, or a little bit of both,
Staples has everything you need to start the year right, and all at amazing prices.
From notebooks to lap desks, folders to noise-canceling headphones.
This week, Staples two-pocket paper folders and one-subject notebooks are an incredible 10 cents each. Now that's a back-to-school deal you don't want to miss.
Shop in-store or pick up curbside. School on, save on at Staples.
Ends 9/12. Limit 6. In-store only while supplies last. Curbside available in most stores.
McDonald's 4 for 4 is a steal. It's a full meal that includes a tasty sandwich, chicken McNuggets, fries, and a medium drink for just $4. And now, McDonald's 4 for 4 comes with 3 sandwich options to choose from, like a juicy McDouble, a classic McChicken, and now the fiery hot and spicy McChicken. Swing by and get more with McDonald's 4 for 4. Prices and participation may vary. Single item at regular price cannot be combined with combo meal.
It's game on at Samstown Hotel and Gambling Hall Tunica. With their focus on your safety, you can focus on winning. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-777-9696.
Ride with the country's number one auto insurer, State Farm. I'm Kathy Thurman Edwards, the agent on Brookhaven Circle, with a big shout out to my awesome team now licensed in Arkansas, Mississippi, and Tennessee. Call or text 901-767-7744. We're still all better looking than a lizard.
A fellow went up to the desk in the hotel lobby to register. A large dog lying in front of the desk made him nervous. The desk clerk greeted him. Uneasy, the man asked, "Does your dog bite?" The desk clerk simply said, "No." With that assurance, the man decided he would pet the dog. Just as he put his hand down, the dog bit him sharply. In pain, he said, "I thought you said your dog wouldn't bite." I liked the desk clerk's response. "Sir, that's not my dog." It's important to ask the right questions. The questions we ask determine the answers we get. One question we ask God is, "Why are you punishing me this way?" The truth is, God isn't punishing us. We need to ask, "What do you want me to teach me in front of all this suffering?" So examine the questions you ask. Instead of why is this happening to me, ask, "What could I learn from this?" I'm Shane Stanford from Christ Church Memphis. You matter.
Visit ChristChurchMemphis.org.
The Mid-South's number one for sports.
WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say play 92.9 ESPN.
All seven and we'll watch them fall.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios. Invested in our communities. Making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Cry. One day all seven will die. do this Chris Harrington deal.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and beyond. Every weekday around 10 a.m.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what is this that we're listening to?
That is Seven by Prince in honor of a Game 7 in the NBA tonight.
Before we get to that, where were you on 9/11?
On the morning of 9/11, we were doing the home inspection for the first house we bought.
Really? Here in Memphis?
And the night before, I was at, night of September 10th, I was at the White Stripes concert at Ernestine and Hazel's, which was one of the more memorable nights in modern Memphis music, probably, for that band to play that little bar. And then the next morning, we were at our home inspection.
Were you working for the Flyer at the time?
Yep.
Working for the Flyer. And did you subsequently write anything about this? Or what were you, like, yeah, did you, what did you, did you work that
I
day?
I don't think I did. I know, I mean, we had some kind of package that we did, but, like, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't really a local story.
Right.
I mean, you know, I was the music and film guy for the Alt Weekly. I don't think I really did anything immediate about it.
Well, I was the sports guy for the commercial appeal, and I recall, like, thinking I should do something. I think I ended up going to the blood bank because there was just a line at the blood bank, and I talked to a pilot who was in line to give maybe I think it was a United pilot who was in line to give blood at the blood, but whatever. I just wanted, you know, it's one of those where you want to do something. And anyway, how many houses have you owned in Memphis?
Two.
Two.
Yeah.
All right, Game 7 tonight. Will you be rooting for the Raptors?
Yeah. Yes. I definitely. I mean, I try to separate that from, you know, what I think of the teams. And I'm quite high on the Raptors just in terms of, you know, what they are as a basketball team. But, yes, I definitely would prefer the Raptors.
And why? What do you like about them?
Well, part of it is they're playing Boston. I mean, I think, you know, haven't the Celtics won enough for everyone's lifetime?
I feel like, I don't know, I feel like you root against the Lakers most of all as the most entitled team. And
yeah,
is that,
that's true. I mean, back when it was the Lakers and the Celtics, not in the Magic Bird era, I actually was more of a Magic guy, but in the Garnett Kobe, I was definitely more of a root for Boston because of Kevin Garnett and because they were playing the Lakers. But generally speaking, like, you know, the Celtics have won enough. I like, I mean, the Raptors employ Marc Gasol, so that's one reason to root for them. Kyle Lowry, I'm a fan of. I think the best, at this point, given what's on the table, the best finals we can get is going to be the Toronto Raptors and Kawhi Leonard both trying to defend their title against each other.
Oh, that's a good little... That's a good little series, yeah. But,
yeah.
I mean, it is funny, though. I get the sense, for whatever reason, that the Raptors don't have any great, like, okay, that's a nice little story, but the Raptors don't have any great reach on the American imagination, I guess, is what I think they come across. I'm not saying they are the Spurs, but I think people are, I think they, for the casual NBA fan, I think the idea of the Raptors bores
the
people.
Would be more interesting for people who don't follow the NBA closely. Yeah,
And I think the Celtics would be the most interesting, partly because maybe because what you just said, the brand is such they're kind of new.
Right.
The stars are new. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, like it's a new group of stars, a new coach. Kemba hasn't won at any kind of a level before.
You're really jinxing us here. We're gonna get Celtics Lakers yet again.
I wouldn't hate Celtics Lakers. And here's the truth: the Celtics aren't entitled the way the Lakers are, in the sense that the Lakers can just reload with another great player because they're in L.A. Boston can't do that. Boston, because got a history of being a racist city and whatever. It's cold and other stuff. They can't just
go. They build their team.
Yeah, they build. Yeah. They have to. And so it's a different deal. And so I actually think, but I find I'm not even rooting against these Lakers. I don't know why. I guess I found LeBron, I find him more and more admirable, I guess, than before.
Well, the weird thing about this Clippers team, I still think the Clippers are the best team, but there's not a lot of spirit to that team. There's just no real vibe to the Clippers.
Maybe it's because there's no vibe to Kawhi.
That's part of it. Part of it is that he just got there, and so there's Paul George just got there. There's a little bit of the mercenary aspect, and the Clippers sort of as a franchise still don't really have like a personality or an identity, and it all just seems like a bunch of players who are good, and like you know, and I still think they're going to win the title, but it's hard to get they don't really capture your imagination.
All right, so back to Game 7. You will be, not in any fervent way, but you'll be rooting for the Raptors, and indeed you believe they will win, partly because you like Kyle Lowry better than Kemba, partly because they've been here and they're an experienced group. The best player? Isn't Jason Tatum the best player on the floor?
It could vary. I mean, certainly if you're picking players going forward, he's the guy you pick. But I don't know if he is all around. I think it's a relatively close call. The thing about Lowry is that basketball is about more than scoring, and Lowry does so many things well in so many aspects of the game that I don't know if there's that much of a difference there.
What do you think of the Box and One? I didn't realize Nurse actually sells T-shirts that say Box and One. Like, that's his thing. People didn't think it would work, but it's one of his things, and it obviously threw Kemba off the first half. He didn't play it, I don't think, in the second half of the last game. But I guess you probably like it as another inventive, interesting thing that they do, right?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, you use every tool you have, but just, you know, obviously you have to choose the right time and place to use them. I think if you try gimmicky stuff too much, like those gimmicks get solved pretty quickly in the NBA. That's why people don't play like the Nolan Richardson style, like 48 minutes of hell. We're going to press you. Like, you know, you got to sort of pick your spots with stuff. But I think Nick Nurse, I mean, obviously last year he had Kawhi. So you won the title, but you got Kawhi. I think this year he's sort of shown that he is that good as a game coach.
It's, interesting. Early on, I recall in the bubble, we remarked that, hey, the game's really interesting, and that without fans, it's a different experience, but you don't notice their absence. It's not some great hole that they're not there. And the time we said, yeah, but you wonder if during the playoffs, once they reach this moment of fever intensity, we will miss them. And I got to say, from Game 6, the answer to that is no as well. Like, the Game 6 didn't require fans.
I am surprised at the degree to which I don't notice it unless I make a point of noticing it. Yes. No, I agree. I think it's working on TV. It doesn't seem to be impacting the players in terms of their competitiveness, in terms of their intensity. And the atmospherics don't seem to be bothered by it from a TV perspective. And I am surprised at how much of a non-issue it is.
All right. Moving on, Lakers win again last night. Lakers D has become a story. Very good. Compare and contrast Lakers D, Clippers D.
I don't have the season long number right in front of me. They've both been good. I think Kawhi Leonard is not regularly what he was a few years ago, where he was he was a monster defensively. But I think he still has that ceiling. In terms of a lockdown individual defender, Kawhi Leonard has a higher ceiling when he wants to amp it up, I think, than anyone on the Lakers does. What the Clippers don't have is a big man with the athleticism and mobility of Anthony Davis. And that's sort of the difference between the two. But I don't know how much that's going to mean. I don't know. I mean, I think they both have good defensive personnel. The Lakers, when you have guys like Danny Green and Rondo, and I mean, they have guys who are erratic offensively in terms of the role players, but are pretty good defensively. The Clippers have tended to be, their problem has tended to be Lou Williams, that you have this offense-defense question with Lou Williams, where you play him for offense, but he can be exploited defensively. I think given the offensive ability they have with Kawhi and Paul George, they can just not play him when the time comes. But also the Lakers don't really have guards that are going to exploit them. And so I think, you know, the biggest weakness the Clippers have defensively is one that the Lakers are less likely to be able to exploit anyway because they don't have dynamic guards.
When Houston exits, Mike D'Antoni might well exit as well. They have not reached a deal. Do you believe in D'Antoni as a coach? Would you want him to be your not of the Grizzlies, but whatever, wherever? Like, is if he lands in Indiana, let's just say, it seems smart to you.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, he's a really good coach. Obviously, I mean, you know, yes, he's never won a title, and yes, I don't know. I mean, he's never won a title, and so there's been a cap on what he's done, and he's had teams that would be capable of doing that. But I don't think he's ever had the clear-cut best team either. I think you're not going to hire Mike D'Antoni unless you're a team that's ready to win right now, and unless you're a team that feels like you have guard play that can be elevated by him, and maybe Indiana with a Malcolm Brogdon and with a Victor Oladipo hopefully healthy next season. Maybe Indiana is one of those teams where you feel like he can take your personnel and juice it to somewhere that, you know, Nate McMillan, your previous coach, wasn't able to get it. Like, I could see that. I that seems like a reasonable path for them to take.
I don't know if you saw the Michael Porter Jr. clip where he was basically saying the problem with the Nuggets, they just got to get him the ball more. Your friend John Hollinger tweeted out that, listen, there's one really big reason why Michael Porter Jr. fell, and that was his back. But that was not the only reason. How much would like that kind of thing trouble you if you could right now put Michael Porter Jr. on the Grizzlies? If he's kind of a me quirky weirdo personality, would that bother you? Like how much does all of that? It seems like the Grizzlies pay a huge attention to culture, fit, all of that. What do you make of Michael Porter Jr. in that vein?
That particular clip didn't seem to rise, at least from what I saw, to the level of John's tweet. But obviously, John was talking about, you know, different intel beyond just what you saw in that clip. That clip was, to me, sort of a roll your eyes and ignore it and move on kind of thing. But he said there's been other stuff with him in terms of, you know, including some conspiracy theory sort of weirdness.
Yeah.
And I think that stuff matters. I think the quality of the person, you know, matters. I think that's sort of that was the Spurs lesson sort of all those years. But he is, given the level of his talent and given his youth and given that, you know, at this point, like, you're not it's not a question of contract yet in terms of what level of investment, you know, financially you would make. Like, you know, if I were the Grizzlies and I were offered Michael Porter Jr., like, here, you could have him.
You
could have
him.
I would certainly take him.
Yeah, and see how it goes. Exactly right. All right, and then finally, some news. Shams tweeted out some news on the schedule, said the earliest the NBA would start would be the next year at Christmas. And I know you aren't a fan of a official Christmas Day start because you don't need your Christmas to be devoted to the NBA. But in terms of that broad calendar starting late December, early January, going through whatever August, July, August, do you think that's the smart thing for the NBA to do, not just next year, but going forward?
Well, I wrote a couple of weeks ago that I thought the 2020-21 NBA season would be a 2021 NBA season.
Yes, you did, yeah.
and that's the sense I had, you know, a couple weeks ago, that's where it was headed. I think the short term, what they're trying to do is trying to figure out a way to max out games with fans and max out fans in games, right? Instead of going, they've shown that a bubble could work, and then I think they could put together what I call an archipelago of bubbles. They could make that work. But financially speaking, I think they want to get fans in the stands. And so I do think they're going to push the calendar back. And to me, the question is, are they going to be willing to shrink the number of games? Because if they don't, it's going to be hard to get back on a normal schedule. I guess I haven't put a lot – to me, I think they need to lower the 82-game schedule and be creative with it in terms of playoffs and stuff like that. I'm more focused on that than general calendar questions. I guess I haven't thought about, you know, what I prefer from a general calendar standpoint, because I don't so much of the rationale is, you know, not competing with football, and I just don't pay that much attention to football,
right.
So I don't really think about that. I mean, I like having basketball in the fall because I'm not focused on football, and so I like basketball showing up in October and November. I don't, like you said, I'm not a fan of the idea of a Christmas Day specific start. But I don't really care about the calendar as much as I care about
Do you think there's any real chance
the that number gonna, flow of games?
Do you think there's any real chance that they, on a permanent, ongoing basis, in a substantial way, cut the number of games?
I don't know about substantial, but I think they could change the format of the season. And I think what you saw with these quote unquote seeding games, I think was interesting. And I think you could find a way to limit a normal regular season and then expand a playoff in some kind of way with you know, play-in kind of stuff that ultimately would result in fewer overall games, but not less money. And I think there is a way to do that. Do I think you're going to cut down to a 60-game season? No. But could you cut down to a 70-something game season and then tinker with the playoffs and make more money in the long run? Yeah, I think you can.
Thank you, Chris. Have a great weekend. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
That is Chris Harrington. We will come back and talk to we'll be Fisher and Fridays when we return. Chef Cockatoo, 92.9 FM ESPN.
I'm United States Surgeon General Jerome Adams, America's doctor. And all across our nation, we've taken steps together to slow the spread of coronavirus. Now we must continue to take personal responsibility to protect ourselves and our loved ones. Because even though not all of us risk a severe case of coronavirus, we all risk getting it and spreading it to others, maybe without even realizing that we're sick. So if we want to get back to school, back to work, back to worship, and back to overall health, there are things our country needs to do. We need to follow state and local guidelines, take extra precautions if at higher risk, wash our hands frequently, stay 6 feet from others when we can, and when we can't stay 6 feet from others, please, I'm begging you, wear a face covering. These small actions will make a big difference. So I'm asking you to say it with me, America. Coronavirus stops with me. You can learn more at coronavirus.gov.
Produced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services at taxpayer expense.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the space repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel. Language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Why so serious? So raise your glass if you are wrong. In all the right ways.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading value brand. So you can get back to the party. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
This is time that matters. A window of time to help protect the ones you love. Your preteen benefits from staying up to date with their well visits. This is your window of protection. Schedule their well visit now. Brought to you by Merck.
Jason and John.
He is the host of the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You ever think you can convince Tennessee again to play Memphis every year?
Probably not. And, you know, having been on both sides of that rivalry, as you guys know, I mean, the view from Knoxville is really fairly pathetic. I don't know why they still have that view.
The Jason and John Show, weekdays 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
Hurt? Dial #529 on your cell. #law, that's all.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so
you know, so COVID, we had our first COVID death more than 6 months ago. We're probably going to do COVID here at least for another 6 more months, right, Jeffrey, don't you think? So it's like halftime. You should reevaluate and come in at halftime. You have a talk with your team and say, what are we going to do in the second half, right?
Halftime adjustments.
And what I would suggest for the second half is going to Triumph Bank.
Yeah.
Like, if you haven't yet, like, halftime adjustments, next second half, we're gonna make a change.
Yeah.
And we're going to no longer bank at the bank that doesn't care about us and doesn't give us the level of service that we would have had at a bank 30, 40 years ago.
We're going to run the plays that work.
We're going to run the plays that work, and we're going to go to the folks who are personally involved with your banking, the ones who will give you their cell phone number to have in your own personal cell phone. We're going to go to Triumph Bank. So try that, like, for the second half. If the first half been working for you exactly, try that for the second half. I'll tell you, it worked for me. It's a play that I go to time and time again. And listen, I don't mind if you rip it off. You know, it's Triumph Bank. They're invested in the community and making banking easy for you. Joined now by Charles Fisher. He's a man in Washington, D.C., journalist extraordinaire, author of One Giant Leap, The Impossible Mission That Flew Us to the Moon. I believe, Charles, it's coming out in paperback in like a week, isn't it?
It is coming out in paperback on September 22nd. So that's a week and 3 days, a week and 4 days, with a whole new chapter. And, of course, the paperback is easier to tote around. All those footnotes at the back are lighter in the paperback.
There you go. So I urge you to get it.
You're going
to
want to wait.
Like others, like Pete Pranica, our friend Pete Panica, Lexi Johnston, and others among our listenership here, are big fans of One Giant Leap, and it'll be out in paperback in 10 days. Also, I believe you have breaking dentist news. You went to the dentist. I was just thinking about this. I have not been to the dentist. So there was a story on NPR that said that just because people are avoiding medical procedures, and this wasn't dentistry, but it falls into the same category, colonoscopies, breast exams, etc. Like, they are, and I'm supposed to have a colonoscopy, too, because, like, every 5 years, you're supposed to have one. Just because they're avoiding that, the death rate is going to go up from those diseases because people just aren't doing the regular stuff that they would do.
Because
they don't want to go to the hospital. They just want to do it. And it's the same thing with me in dentistry. Dr. Mehdi Sadeghi, I haven't been to see him. And it's not – I haven't thought about it particularly. I'm just like I put on everything on hold. So you went to the dentist in the era of COVID. What was it like?
Well, going to the dentist, I haven't been inside my doctor's office since March, so I'm a little wary. They convey a great sense of confidence because they interview you the day before over the phone. They do a symptom check, health check, contacts. That was very reassuring about their protocols. Wear a mask. Do not come up without a mask. Call from the parking lot. Make sure we're ready, you know, that there's nobody in the waiting room. And the office, you know, of course, there's plexiglass and so forth. Everybody's, you know, the dentist people wore masks anyway.
That's what they say. They were doing it before it was cool. Like, they say, right. We were already doing everything you need to do. Come on in, baby, right?
But they've done a couple interesting things. The hygienist and the dentist are actually wearing K95s. Or N95s, whatever they're called these days. And my hygienist said, it's hard to breathe through these for good reason. That's the point. But when there's no patient, I switch back to surgical masks. They don't spray the inside of your mouth at my dentist with the water as they go to sort of clean things up as they go. You stop a couple times and just rinse out because she said, all that does is spray stuff into the air. That's not good. I've been going to the dentist for 59 years. You always take your glasses off. Now, she said, either leave your glasses on or wear our protective glasses. We want your eyes covered, you know, a little bit. Then the dentist comes in just to do the, you know, everything's great. Let's make sure there's nothing, you know, that the hygienist missed. And he said to me, unprompted, people are taking much better care of their teeth in the pandemic. He said, it's not one or two. He said, it's totally noticeable. It's like, I got nothing else to do. I might as well floss. And I thought, well, now that's a perfect New York Times, Washington Post, page one, Wall Street Journal, page one story. I'm going to pass it on to my buddies at the Washington Post.
I can't believe that's true. People are flossing. Yeah, I don't believe it. I'll be honest.
I don't think it's true. Well, maybe
I think people are drinking, but I don't think they're flossing.
Well, we know that alcohol sales are, I happened to check this morning, alcohol sales are up 24% in the packaged goods zone. You know, beer, wine, hard spirits, and spirits are up more, 27% higher than everything else. So people have definitely taken their drinking home, and the folks who follow alcohol consumption, alcoholism, alcohol abuse are very worried about that, because, of course, drinking at bars is zero or almost zero. So it may be that the alcohol consumption overall is not up necessarily, but drinking at home is a different experience than drinking in a bar. But anyway, I thought that was fascinating. I'm going to see if I can get somebody to call. It's the kind of thing you call 10 dentists.
Right. See if it's a trend.
Exactly.
Speaking of hard-hitting journalism, Bob Woodward, and I don't want to do – listen, people may not believe this, some of my listeners, but I don't try to do gratuitous Trump bashing here because what the hell? People are already dug in. So I'm not – that's not what we're doing here. But Bob Woodward had a big story earlier this week where he – the story was that Trump, in the early days of the pandemic, as he was telling people the thing was just going to vanish – he was telling Bob Woodward in a series of interviews that are taped, so we know he'd said it, can't deny it, that this is very serious. And so he was downplaying it in public, and he was cognizant of the real peril in his interviews with Bob Woodward. And so the implication is that, listen, if he'd been telling us what the hell was really going on early on, that fewer people would have died. And though Bob Woodward, in addition to Trump being criticized for this, Bob Woodward has been criticized for this because he didn't release this stuff. And even Trump has said, listen, if this was such a big deal, why didn't Woodward release the stuff when I said it? He held it until now. What the hell? If this was breaking news, he would have gone with it public right away. Should Bob Woodward be criticized by the president or anyone else for not revealing early on that the president thought this was desperately serious, even as he was telling people no big deal?
Yeah, I guess there are journalists and there are lots of talking heads who are saying, oh my God, how could Woodward hold on to this? You know, there he was saying, yeah, oh, it's serious. I like to downplay it. I guess I'm in a different category. There was no confusion in late February and all of March and all of April about whether what Donald Trump was saying was accurate or serious. He said it's at 10 cases, it's going to go to 5 and disappear. It's going to magically disappear. When summer comes, it's going to disappear. Maybe there were some people who thought that was true, but I don't think most people really were taking their actual medical advice from Donald Trump, and I don't think it would have changed the course of public health or the course of even the politics. What would have happened? So here's how Bob Woodward works. It's a slight overstatement to say that Bob Woodward and I are old colleagues, but that's actually exactly what we were. When I was a cub reporter at the Washington Post, and I don't use that term facetiously, I was at the Washington Post as a 22-year-old, 23-year-old, 24-year-old, 25-year-old. It was 1983. So Watergate at that point was only 14 years in the rearview mirror, not even 14 years, 10 years really. Watergate was a lot closer to us then than 9/11 is to us today, in fact. And I was in the newsroom every day with Bob Woodward. Carl Bernstein had already left the Washington Post, but Bob Woodward was a working reporter and working investigations editor then. his method is really, in some ways, very simple. Bob Woodward latches onto a story, and he interviews people, usually in person, over and over and over again. Bob Woodward learned early a secret of really good reporters, and something that I myself not only do as a reporter but recommend over and over, and that is that you get a much different quality of conversation and interview the third time you talk to somebody, even about the same topic, than the first time, and the fifth time, and the 11th time in his case. So he actually interviewed Donald Trump over the course of the last 9 months. He interviewed him 18 times, just about every 2 weeks. And eventually Donald Trump would actually call Bob Woodward on the phone and say, hey, do you want to talk? And so that's a very valuable technique for getting someone's thought process, understanding where they are at the moment. If Bob Woodward had written what he learned in February and March in the third week in April, we would have been done. We would not have Donald Trump's candid, unvarnished reaction, for instance, to the Black Lives Matter protests and the rioting, and that's turned out to be really revealing as well. So there were 60 reporters working on trying to understand Trump's mindset in the White House every day. I don't think Bob Woodward would have changed the game, but what Bob Woodward got by quietly going about his business, interviewing people over and over again, Bob Woodward is totally old-fashioned. Nothing goes into print unless two separate people with independent knowledge of the event agree that it happened. That's what his books are. They're reconstructions of meetings, events, conflicts, who was on which side. And so we got from him something we could not have gotten from anybody else. But if he had, on April 10th, written, oh, my gosh, look what I learned from Donald Trump on March 23rd, that would have been the end. Donald Trump would have stopped speaking.
I guess the argument would be here. The argument would be this, though. The argument would be, yeah, but if he'd done that, tens of thousands fewer people would have died. I think the counter to that is, okay, well, fine. He's now released it, right? Now we know what Trump said. And are people rushing to change their habits? Like, now literally,
no, that's exactly right.
And no one's changing their habits. No, I don't actually think, had he released it then, it would have had any particular impact. Because you can see that it's the impact that it's having now, which is no impact, except for people who already were taking it seriously are taking it seriously. And the people are saying, yeah, you can live in your basement if you want. I'm not going to live in fear. They're saying that, too, even though we know that even Trump thought it was a hell of a serious behind
serious.
The scenes. Right. Right. Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But at the time, there's this idea that at the time, the only thing that's missing was, did Trump know, or was he having wishful thinking, or was he explicitly lying? And so it turns out he was lying when he said it's going to go away. It's not even as bad as the flu. But who cares? I agree with you. It's hard to imagine how that would have changed the course of the public health performance if Bob Woodward had written a story in April saying, look what he said to me in private. No, and you're exactly right. If it was going to have that kind of impact, well, then we'd do a bunch of stay-at-home orders now and get all our schools open by November 1st, which we could if we wanted to. But
okay,
that's
just,
not—
Okay, just to be clear, you said lying. You said,
we're criticizing Bob Woodward, not Donald Trump.
Just to be clear, you said he was lying. What Trump has said is that he was being Churchillian, and he was putting a brave face on a difficult situation. And just like FDR tried to prop up American spirits, so was Donald Trump trying to prop up American spirits. And he didn't want to cave into fear and to sound like he was shaking in the face of the pandemic. So that's what he was doing. He was reassuring the American people that all will be well.
Well, you're deep into the politics now. Donald Trump goes out every day now and scares the bejesus out of people about their cities being burned. So he's obviously not really nervous about scaring people because that's what his rallies are all about. But how disrespectful to the American people is that, that you can't stand in front of them and say, this is serious. I'm not panicking. You don't need to panic, but there's five things we all need to do because we're in trouble otherwise. I have enough respect for the American people to think that if you ask them to do something really serious and hard and that requires sacrifice in a calm, measured, thought-out conversation, they will do it. That's my experience with the American people. So the idea that the only option was to get out there and scream and yell and panic or to lie about whether this was serious or not, I actually think the correct course was the course of this is really serious. Here's five things we need to do. And as you and I have said often, here's the goal. By summer, we want to be able to do this. If we're going to do that, we need to take these measures. In September, we want everybody back in school and college. In order to do that, there has to be very little virus in the community. Here's what we're going to do to make that happen. And I think the American people would absolutely have done what was necessary. And we're talking on the anniversary of 9/11. We had a lot of thoughtful, measured conversation after the actual country was attacked in an insane, coordinated attack using jet planes, and no one panicked. I don't think that the country was ever in danger of panicking about the virus. So, you know, that's a nice explanation from a guy who goes out there every day trying to panic people.
And Churchill didn't actually say, go ahead and live your lives and ignore the bombers. He said this was going to be a long, difficult struggle, but we will ultimately prevail. Okay.
We're going to fight them on the beaches.
Right.
That's what he said. He didn't say, get out your beach chair, they're coming.
Right.
He said, we need to live.
We need the stadiums full. We need the Easter celebrated.
Right.
We need whatever.
Right.
So, okay, speaking of 9/11, this is the last topic I'll ask you about because then I got to get to the one story you've been waiting for. In the wake of 9/11, obviously there was shortly thereafter, was that Operation Desert Storm, I guess, whatever. But anyway, you ended up there. Who knew? There is one factory in this country that makes all the non-nuclear bombs that we use in America, and you visited it. Is that correct?
Right. I mean, you guys were talking, you and Chris were talking about journalism in the wake of 9/11, and everybody, just like I'm writing about the pandemic now, I was a business journalist at that time, but I really wanted to be writing about something that had to do with the aftermath of the attacks, the reaction. I did. I found there's only one factory in the entire country that makes conventional weapons, non-nuclear weapons, bombs, explosives that are dropped from bombers, from military jet planes that drop bombs. It's in McAlester, Oklahoma. It is an extraordinary place, made all the armament for Vietnam. The facility is six times the land area of Manhattan, if you can imagine that, a single military facility, six times the size of Manhattan, because once you make the bombs, you want to keep them in little bunkers that are far apart from each other, so if you have a problem, the whole place doesn't go up. So most of the land is devoted to storage shelters that are, you might call them socially distanced. They are explosively distanced, so they don't trigger each other if there's a problem. And I kind of went out there with a lot of preconceptions. It's hard to be a reporter with no preconceptions about any story. You have preconceptions if you're going to the dentist. And I thought, you know, I'm going to meet a bunch of people who make bombs for a living. They're going to be gung-ho in support of George Bush and Donald Rumsfeld.
And bombing the hell out of them into the Stone Age, right.
Let's go drop some
bombs.
Let's
get some. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I found exactly the opposite. First of all, it is a very dangerous place. There's a 2,000-pound bomb is is, whatever, 6 feet long, as big around as a tree trunk. There's 2,000-pound bombs lying everywhere like there would be manila folders on your desk in your cubicle, and every one of those 2,000-pound bombs could take out, you know, an entire city block. And you sort of astonished.
I'm sure they're not armed. They're not armed in some way, right? I mean,
They don't have fuses in them.
Are they password protected?
They're password protected. The joke is whatever. They love telling you all these funny stories about the newbie who knocked something on the floor and turned around and ran, and people shouting after him. Nathan, come back. And he came back and they said, man, if you have time to turn around and run, you're fine. If there was going to be a problem, you wouldn't have time to turn around and run. So it's kind of a strange place. McAllister's a small community. There were third-generation bomb makers, people whose mom and grandmom or father and grandfather had worked there. The thing that I thought captured the place so well, there was a guy refurbishing 2.75-inch rockets that are mostly used air-to-ground by Black Hawk helicopters that get in trouble, and they're firing at people on the ground. He was finishing refurbishing these rockets and sliding them into cardboard tubes. They were literally the commercial poster tubes, like if you go to you're a college student, you go to a store, you buy a poster for your wall in the days when college students had dorm rooms and put stuff up on their walls, and they would give you a little poster tube to protect the poster on the way home. That's what they were. They were putting these 2.75-inch rockets in the tubes, stacking them up, and sending them to Afghanistan. And this guy was sliding the little top on top of the tube and then taping it closed where the edge of the tube and the top met. And with each one, he folded over the last piece of tape and left it hanging, a little shirt tail. And I kind of watched him do his job for 3 or 4 minutes, and I was talking to him. And I said, you know, what exactly are you doing there? Why are you doing that instead of smoothing the tape all the way around? And he said, I've been doing this way for years. He said, when it turns out they talk to their quote-unquote customers and the people receiving them. Occasionally people from the military come visit McAllister. And he said, you know, what we make, people need. And these 2.75-inch rockets in particular, they need them in a hurry. If they need to load these on a helicopter, the helicopter probably, the rotor hasn't stopped, it lands, somebody reloads the rockets and the helicopter's out of there. People are waiting for help. I don't want somebody, some munitions loader looking for the edge of the tape with their fingernail, right? They need to be able to peel this thing off. They don't need to use a knife. They need to be able to get the top off and get the missile out quickly. And so what was so striking was these men and women, certainly half and half, weren't thinking about what was going on at the Pentagon or what was going on Capitol Hill or the White House. They were thinking about men and women just like them. They weren't thinking about the politics. They were thinking people just like us are relying on the quality and the instantaneous usability of these weapons to save their lives and to save the lives of their colleagues and their fellow service members. And I was just so struck by that. That's such a different perspective than I went out there thinking about. You can still argue about the wars in Afghanistan, the war in all the wars in the Middle East, how we've handled that, the politics of that. But that guy was trying to do something for his fellow service people literally half a world away so that if they needed that thing, they could peel it off in the blink of an eye. And I thought, you know, that's the kind of person I want making my bomb.
Charles writes about many of the same sort of people in the book One Giant Leap. It is out in paperback shortly about the remarkable folks who took us to the moon. Thanks very much, Charles. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you, sir. Bye.
That is Charles Fishman. I'm in Washington, D.C. Grizzlies have made some news. We'll tell you about it in the one story you've been waiting for when we return. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, it's Jeff Calkins. And joining me today is Suzanne Hobbs, Director of Communications with Boomer Naturals. It's a U.S.-based wellness company that also offers America's best-selling face masks. Thank you, Suzanne, for joining me today. The Boomer Naturals masks, they're at their highest level of protection for 30 days of use. Explain that.
They sure are. They are meant to be used for at least 30 days. You get 30 full days of
use and then just hand wash it at the end of each day, or you can put it in the washing machine. And the reason that they're good for at least 30 days is a positive thing. That means you're going to have less waste, because like those single use masks, you're not throwing it away. And things like bandanas offer such little protection. So we have nano silver in all three layers of these cloth masks. And that means that that nano silver will last for up to 30 washes. Also really breathable and comfortable, multiple sizes for adults and kids. And we know you're going to be really happy that you found the face mask you've been searching for.
Thanks, Suzanne. For more information and to order, go to BoomerNaturals.com or just stop by your local CVS pharmacy and be sure to ask for Boomer Naturals Nano Silver Masks and Gaiters. Boomer's got you covered.
Grab the usual suspects, pick your nearest or dearest trail, and get ready to leave your worries at base camp. Because Honda is here with a great getaway event to help our family of riders plan an escape from the routine. It's all happening now at DeSoto Honda in Olive Branch. That's where you'll find exclusive offers on your favorite Honda motorcycles, ATVs, and side-by-sides, like the 4-Trax Foreman. Built to never quit, it offers the comfort you need on long rides and work days. Plus, the bigger engine for 2020 means even more of the proven power you expect from a Honda ATV. Right now, you can ride off on the Foreman and save big with up to $600 in factory-to-dealer incentives on select models. Visit or call DeSoto Honda, 5656 Goodman Road in Olive Branch, and hatch a plan for adventure during the Honda Great Getaway Event. Factory-to-dealer incentives are good with select new and unregistered models. See dealer for complete program details.
I'm consumer investigator Andy Wise. I'm a public figure, but I prefer my privacy. I prefer a handful of friends I keep close in places where I feel safe. That's why I joined the Crescent Club, 6075 Poplar Avenue inside the Crescent Center. The Crescent Club is my safe haven. I can just be myself, whether I'm holding a business meeting or a birthday party. The Crescent Club's entertainment rooms can be configured to meet any event or social distancing. Whether it's my wife, a best friend, or a client, they feel safe when I bring them to the Crescent Club. And let me tell you, there is great comfort knowing I can work quietly in one of the club's soundproof rooms, have Germantown native chef Billy Boyle whipped me up something he learned from one of the best kitchens on the planet, then closed the deal with a cocktail on the ninth floor watching the sunset over East Memphis. For membership, call Kathleen Muck at 901-684-1010. My safe haven, your wise choice. The Crescent Club, where you belong.
Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. It's time for you to upgrade to new, modern devices with Windows 10. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
Third floor study hall.
My dining room table.
Home room Monday and Tuesday. My living room Wednesday to Friday.
Wherever school is this year, Staples has amazing prices on everything like lap desks, computers, and UV sanitizers. This week, the 15-inch Lenovo IdeaPad 3 laptop with Intel Core i3 processor is just $399. You save $130. Shop in-store, order online, or pick up curbside. School on, save on. Staples. Ends 9/12. While supplies last, curbside available in most stores.
Score your faves with McDonald's 4-for-4 deal. Featuring the McDouble, four-piece chicken McNuggets, a small order of fries, and a medium soft drink at participating McDonald's.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Waiting around through ups and downs, waiting on something to happen. I just said...
Jason Smith was earlier talking about teaching the kid at home. And all the worksheets that are required, all the... And you know what you need suddenly? You might not have needed before? Your printer. You need your printer, ladies and gentlemen. You need a good printer. And you need to be able to hit print and have it right there. Right there. That was not a good printer noise. But Cooper Systems can help you with that. 360-9679, 360-9679. Well, you will not spend what you would spend at a big box store. They'll get you set up with the printer. Honestly, they can help you. They will both come out to your home and help with your home networking and all of that if you need it. But they've been a great resource during this time when we are all working virtually. And now that you're teaching your kids virtually, a new printer is just what you need. If you need a new laptop, they also have got a shipment there of all the best stuff, which, once again, you can pay dramatically less than you would at a big box store. His phone number is 360-9679. 360-9679. They are located in the Mount Moriah Office Park. Let's get to the one story you've been waiting for.
It's that time again on 92.9. Jeff and Jeffrey have kept you hanging long enough. It is, at long last, the one story you've been waiting for. Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air presents the one story you've been waiting for. Visit Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air at bestcaretn.com. Jeff's one story you've been waiting for. Now,
the Memphis Grizzlies have made a hire. Sonia Rahman has been hired as the new assistant to replace the Neil Ivey, who went off to be the head coach at Notre Dame.
Heard of it.
And once again, went with a woman as a assistant coach. That is deliberate, obviously. It is a commitment to diversity, and it is smart, because nowhere is it written that that if you cut out half of the humans in the world from your hiring pool, that you will get the best humans.
Yeah.
It just, like, why wouldn't you avail yourself of, like, folks who might slightly think from a different perspective? And all women don't have, quote unquote, a different perspective, but, like, it makes all the sense in the world. Now, this particular woman, Sonia Rahman, has a, you know what they didn't have enough of in that front office? Lawyers.
Yes.
Lawyers. And I'm not going to mock them. A, I'm a fat past lawyer. And B, don't knock success. Like, they got a whole bunch of lawyers together, and all of a sudden they turned around the franchise around in a year. But Sonia Rahman is a lawyer. She's the head coach at, has been the head coach at MIT. She was the head coach at MIT. Before that, she was an assistant coach at Wellesley, which is a single gender school there in Massachusetts, and she played hoops at Tufts, and she went to BC Law School, and then she has been at MIT for 12 years. So she's obviously smart and has, like, a bazillion academic All-Americans that she has churned out. And Drew Hill has a story up about her at the Daily Memphian, which I urge you to read. I have tweeted it out. But you know what? I don't think you can go wrong having smart people in your organization. And that's whether it's a basketball team or a radio station or anything else. If you have got, if you can bring smart people into your organization, that's a good thing. And it sounds to me like Sonia Rahman is a smart people. So shout out to her. You had some news on the ratings. We predicted yesterday that the NFL ratings, just because people don't care about sports as much anymore, would be down. What are they, Jeffrey?
It's important to note these are the fast overnight ratings. These will adjust up later. But in comparison to last year's Green Bay-Chicago, the exact same number, down 16% last night.
It doesn't surprise me.
Well, the Chiefs got out to a quick lead.
Actually, the Texans got, didn't the Texans got out to a quick lead?
Yeah, but, like, it had, it was it, half, you knew it was over.
By the time it was 14-7 even, you knew it was over, honestly. Like, as soon as Chiefs got in front.
Yeah.
But I think it's true. I think people are, because in the hierarchy of needs, sports has moved down in terms of things we care about.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't shock me in the slightest, that the ratings were slightly down. What's coming up next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming up next. Mike Keith will join Jason and John during the second hour. Brandon Lang will join us on Giannotto and Jeffrey. Drew Hill hosting today. Jeff joins him at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Back on Monday. For now, our work is done.
The Mid-South's number one for sports. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. On the radio.com live and rewind anytime. Smart speakers just say play 92.9 ESPN.
43 Memphians were murdered last month. That is the highest number in history. in Memphis. If you're ready to protect and defend yourself, sign up and get your permit to carry at Top Gun Memphis. Go online to TopGunMemphis.com. If you need ammo, we've got 9mm 40 caliber in stock. If you need to practice shooting, come out to Top Gun Memphis, the largest indoor gun range in Memphis. You need a new handgun, come out to the gun store in Top Gun Memphis. TopGunMemphis.com. That's TopGunMemphis.com.
Make a splash this summer when you stay at Sam's Town Hotel and Gambling Hall Tunica. Enjoy the sizzling table games and slots action before cooling off in the pool. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-777-9696.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.